welcome to another episode of Your Life Beyond You podcast, where we are challenging you to intentionally invest into the lives of others. I am your host, Terrence Campbell, and I am, as always, so thankful that you took the time to check out today's podcast. Now, remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platform. June, y'all, I told you last week that June is a super awesome month. It's the time that we take vacations. It's the time that the kids are out of school. Well, for those that aren't in summer school, sorry about that, kids. But also, it's the month that we celebrate fathers. Of course, Father's Day is coming up. And we have devoted this month to recognizing fathers who are making a difference in their community. Well, today is no different. I have a very special guest who, the way he is making a difference is he started an organization called Faithful Fathering. And so I am so thrilled to welcome to the show today, Rick Wirtz of Faithful Fathering.
Blessings, Terrence. Blessing to be with you.
Yes, sir. So glad to have you, Rick. I am thrilled. I'm going to tell you, man, I have been able to follow Faithful Fathering for, I don't know, maybe almost 2 years now. And I keep up with the work that you all are doing, and I think it's fantastic. So I want you to know that I'm so thankful that you carved time out to share some insight and wisdom with us today.
Well, it's a blessing to be with you, Terrence. Thank you so much for opening up the door. You gave me a chance to talk about my favorite subject and my favorite month of the year. So yes. Father's Day is Father's Day month, and I love talking about fathering, but just as a little bit of background, Terrence, I'll share a little bit of my story, which is really why Faithful Fathering exists. And but first of all, I have just for folks out there, and to let them know that I do have a son, a 46-year-old son that has two beautiful daughters that I get to call granddaughters. I've got another grown daughter and grown son as well. Just handed my daughter off in marriage a few weeks ago.
And congratulations.
Thank you. My son gets married at the end of this year, around September of this year. So we're moving into a whole nother phase of fathering, that's for sure.
Right.
But, and I have been, my bride is behind me every step of the way, and or beside me every step of the way, I should say, because certainly when people ask me what the secret is to being a faithful father, I always have to start with it's learning to love your bride as Christ loves the church. And, I thought I knew something about love when we married 40 plus years ago, but I didn't have a clue. But the good news is, in the old Alan Jackson song, you know, we're a work in progress, and he has been working on me extra duty the last 25 plus years to learn how to love, that it's not a feeling. It's an intentional decision day in, day out. Love your bride more today than yesterday, more tomorrow than today. And so that's where I am now. The reason Faithful Fathering exists is that I didn't start out that way, of course. I actually grew up in a very violent alcoholic home in the Midwest. Ma would always say Dad came back from World War II a different man than she had married. Today it's called PTSD. Back then, it just, men were supposed to deal with it, but he could not turn away from the alcohol, and our home was a violent alcoholic home. My three older sisters left home quite young they married at a young age, and my dad and I had our final run-in when I was about 13, and I moved in with my eldest sister at the time. She opened her door home to me, her and her husband, and took me in, and you know, my mother was a devout Catholic, staying in the marriage for the family. And when I finally decided to leave, I said, now, you know, Ma, it's safe. It's not a safe environment. Now you leave. And she did divorce Dad. But ended up, you know, she being who she is, the most spiritual person I've ever known, she continued to be his best buddy all the way to his deathbed. So she continued to love him till death did they part, but she did get out of the marriage because of the dangerous situation. But my journey, I was blessed through some athleticism to have an opportunity to go to college. And I was first in my family to graduate from college. Went to a junior college in southern Kansas where I met my bride to be. And
now, Rick, I'm sorry, can I jump in there and ask you?
Sure.
You said pretty athletic. What sport?
I played tennis.
Okay.
I couldn't find nine other guys near as intense as I was. I wanted to beat the tar out of the tennis ball, so that's what I did.
That's awesome. Okay, I'm sorry. Please continue.
That's good. I did attend down to junior college in southern Kansas, and my bride and I knew we were right for each other, but at that juncture, there were already five divorces in my immediate family. All three sisters had divorced, and one twice, and my mother's divorce. So she went on to Oklahoma State to wrap up her degree, and I was picked up by the University of Kansas and wrapped up my degree up there, and was blessed to get a mechanical engineering degree, and came out with a lot of job offers at the time. And I had rules for getting married that I would you know, have a job, have no debt, and have a place to live and all that stuff. And so come fall of 1980, we did indeed marry. And but I was working. I was throwing iron for an oilfield services company here in Texas. And we moved 9 times in the first 15 years of our marriage.
Can I jump in there real quick, Rick?
Yes, sir.
Man, this is some good stuff here. I want us to hold our place at that part right there that you just mentioned about the work that you were doing. But I wanted to stop just for a second and say, you had rules for getting married? I mean, we really don't hear that anymore. So can you run through those again? You say you had to have a job, no debt.
Yeah, that I had seen what caused marriages to fail, which were getting out of bad home situations, jumping into relationships that were probably very similar to your home situation. And I had an uncle that made it very clear. I said, you know, I should know what's what it takes to make a good marriage. I've seen all the others have problems. And he says, well, one correction is you have an opportunity to learn, whether you learn or not is up to you.
There it is.
So that the idea, you know, what I always tell young men is, you know, complete your education, whatever level of education that is. It might be trade school, it might be college, it might be advanced degrees. But then get a job, then date the woman, and then marry the woman, and then have kids. If you have it in that order, we don't have the problems that we have today.
Wow.
But I think
that's not the case nowadays, unfortunately.
That is not the case. And but I wasn't on the, let me make sure that just because I had my rules didn't mean that I had everything under control. I may have had it under my control, but it certainly wasn't under God's control. And that's where I got busy in the world. And I would say busy stands for being under Satan's yoke. We moved the 9 times. I said, I never asked my bride if she wanted to move. I said, our paycheck's in Wichita Falls. Our paycheck is in Pampa. She said, Tampa? I said, no, Pampa, Texas. It's up there in the panhandle of Texas. Then we were in Midland a while, and our first foreign assignment was in New Orleans. And then we had a couple stops overseas after that. But in the meantime, our daughter came along in 1986 and her son in 1988. And but I was busy. I was traveling about 75-80% of the time. And it was at one juncture there, Terrence, that came back from an extended business trip almost a couple of weeks away. Came back to the house on mid morning on a Saturday morning and walked through, gave my bride a peck on the cheek. She was fixing breakfast for the kids. I walked back to the office to wrap up paperwork from my trip to get ready for battle Monday morning. And looked out the back window. I said, who's that out there playing with Amanda? And she said, that's your son. You're traveling too much.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
And she said it just as a good Kansas farm girl. It wasn't condescending. It wasn't even judgmental. It was just a matter of fact.
Just a matter of fact. Hey, here's the truth about it.
And I had two prayers as a Catholic kid. I knew who God was, mm-hmm. and I had prayed that I would be blessed with a happy and healthful marriage and family, and that we didn't know growing up. And I prayed that we would live somewhere above the poverty line that I had grown up well below. And so I knew mm-hmm. who God was. I knew Jesus was. But that morning, the Holy Spirit introduced himself to me and said, "Son, I've answered your prayers, and you're taking these blessings for granted. Furthermore, I'm losing a generation because of dads like you." And that just was a wake-up call that I'd got my priorities all discombobulated. It wasn't the corporate world's fault. It wasn't the company I was working for's fault. It was just the fact that I was an overcomer dad. You know, I always like to delineate that, you know, dad, we can blame our dads for a while. That doesn't last very long. Then we can overcome a bad situation. And sometimes the world even affirms that you're an overcomer. But it's not until you submit to the Heavenly Father for what he's up to and under his priorities and in his playbook, do you start to really live the abundant life. So that was the wake-up call for me, and we've been on a journey since. We left the corporate world in 95.
Hey, Rick, I'm sorry. Before you get into this part, I really want to take a moment and really unpack something that you said that I think is really at the heartbeat of what faithful fathering addresses, and that is the fact that the Holy Spirit spoke to you and said, "We are losing a generation because of fathers like you." I want to really zero in on that and get an idea of when you say that, how do you interpret that? What does that mean? We are losing a generation.
There's two factors there, Terrence. One is when you're as busy as I was and you have your priorities messed up, you are not living a relationship with your bride. Mm. You know, the number one education and example we set for our kids is our relationship in marriage. The closest thing we have to a relationship with Jesus the Christ in the flesh is what we live in marriage. And if we aren't exemplifying that day in, day out, the kids lose that. With the divorce impacting nearly half of marriages, and even some marriages are pretty rocky, even though they stay together, you end up with a generation confused about what healthy relationship even is. And the reason is so foundational in God's word from Genesis 2:24 onward is that this is the foundation for a healthy society. If we teach our kids, the young men, how to love as Christ loves through the example day to day set in the marriage home, and your bride teaches daughters how to respect her husband as the church respects Christ, then that's going to be foundational. And we have kids prepared to enter in and understand what healthy relationship is all about. You can extend on that and just say, you know, when it comes to talking about finances and what have you, every discussion should be open in the home and engage the kids as practical as age appropriate allows so that they see how a couple works through the challenges, the valleys, the peaks, all the stuff that goes on in the home.
Right.
So one way we lose a generation is through the breakdown of relationship, the relationship example. The second way is that we try to live into the lie the devil gives us that you can balance it all in life. You know, Jesus doesn't say anything about balance. He says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul,
all your mind, all your strength. Yes, sir.
And love others as yourself. He doesn't say balance anything. So my encouragement to young men blast through that darkness and don't even try to go there. Learn to, you know, love the Lord with all you have, and then learn to love your bride as Christ loves the church, and reflect that in family. Everything else comes in underneath that.
That is so strong, Rick. I'm so glad we took the time to really unpack that, because that gives life to me that, man, we have to find a way to restore healthy relationships. And one of those ways is for us to model that for our kids.
We don't impress the devil with 1, 2, even 3 hours at church on Sunday or maybe on Wednesday. He's got us the rest of the time. And what you see are a lot of folks doing church, but not being in church. I think COVID, that's one of the blessings of COVID coming out of COVID, is a lot of folks understand that when you're watching services online, you had the opportunity to have some spiritual discussions real time that you might not have had if you're telling your kids to sit down and be quiet. I think that's the challenge that we face, is to not give, you know, if you're going playing and doing church, posing as a Christian, you know, putting on a nice shirt and jacket and what have you, but the world has you the other 6 days of the week, what are your kids going to catch? They're going to catch secularism, not Christian faith. So, you know, that's the word to dads, is kids will catch what you've got. They're not going to always do what you say, but they will catch what you've got. So what you have questioned, is it worth catching?
Is it worth catching? Rick, you're giving us some major gems here today, sir. I want you to continue with your story. You mentioned in 95, that was the last thing that you said before we kind of stepped off the trail for a moment.
We left the corporate world in 95 and came back into the States with really three prayers. One was that I would find some men that would hold me accountable to a closer walk with Christ. We wanted to find a church that would complement the faith that we had in the home. And I was hoping to find some employment that would at least pay the bills and we could so we could stay in place. And we wanted to stay in place through our kids' high school years. We didn't want to move them again. My daughter had been to 4 or 5 schools by the fourth grade. So the way, I had not made one parent-teacher conference activity, production that she was in, not a thing. So.
What about, Rick, what about the fathers who would say, hey, that's for the mother to do. I need to go make some money. All of this parent teacher stuff, I don't need that.
Well, you need to be engaged, and you know, we're to work hard. I want to make sure men never hear me say that it's because I was working hard that I left the corporate world. No, it's because I had my priorities out of balance. Men are supposed to work, and we're supposed to work hard to provide for our family. But provision is not strictly financial. Provision is provision. You know your kids. You're engaged with your kids. So you have a vision for who they are becoming. And that's huge, because, you know, kids don't always fall in love with what mom and dad may want them to fall in love with. As far as, you know, I tried to brainwash my kids to be tennis players. I wanted them to be the next Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf, right? And they didn't love tennis. You know, they just wasn't their deal. Maybe it had something to do with me having them out on the courts in 95 degree heat running around. But they, you know, my son gravitated. He fell in love with baseball. My daughter was a musical theater nut, and just loved and pursued with the beautiful gift of voice to pursue that giftedness. So if we're not engaged in the school and the activities, then we miss out on an opportunity to, you know, I always say, you know, the Lord shares the moniker Father with us for a reason. Because we are his representative in the home. So as his representative, we have to be sensitive to the unique giftedness that he has given our kids. And if we're not in tune and engaged, then we don't have the ability to encourage and connect with our kids, to guide them through so they can really get in sync with what the Lord is up to in their lives.
So good, Rick. That is so good. Now, you led in talking about, after you all stepped out of the corporate world, three prayer requests. I want to be around men who can hold me accountable. We want to be in a church that will complement our values in the home. And we wanted to stay in place. Did God answer those prayers?
Well, Terrence, that was 26, 27 years ago. and we're in the same mm-hmm. home. Our kids grew up in that church. They know the Lord and they know me. And we paid all our bills. So that's my bride has managed the cost side of the equation very well. And as you know, in ministry, you do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And so I am just blessed that she has been so engaged and so willing to accept a little bit different lifestyle than we had in the corporate world. So that has been a blessing for sure, but it's been a teamwork thing. It's not a me go do this, you go do that. It's been a connection that in our marriage and in our dialogue every day.
Such a strong word, Rick. Now, let me ask you, what advice would you give a young father with small children trying to make a transition? Maybe a listener right now has become convicted and said, man, I have to make some moves. I have to find a way to take care of my family and I want them to know me. What do I do?
Well, I'm a big prayer warrior, Terrence. And so I always tell young couples, pray about, is it necessary, for both of y'all to work out of the home? I'm not saying it one way or the other is right or wrong. I'm just asking if you've prayerfully mm-hmm. considered what your needs are and, what needs to happen in the home. Right in line with Dave Ramsey, it isn't how mm-hmm. much we spend, how much we make, it's how much we spend.
And that's right.
I see a lot of couples getting drowned in debt by homes that high priced homes, high priced cars, high priced, those types of things. So we get our priorities out of balance a little bit and our budget runs our priorities versus our priorities controlling our budget. And so my encouragement is to first step is always pray together as husband and wife, what the priorities are and how you are going to manage your home together. And secondly is mm-hmm. to start to put some wheels on that, lay out a financial budget, what you can do, what you can't do. And really just have a candid discussion of what your priorities have been. A lot of couples haven't really talked through the way they grew up. We typically parent like we were parented, or we run home like a home we grew up in. Whether we liked it or not, we tend to go that way. But I think I always say it's important to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, the good of the home that you grew up in, the bad, and then ugly. If there was some addiction or abuse in the home, those are the things you absolutely stay away from. The bad, mm-hmm. you decide what you can do different, do better. And the good, of course, you do your best to hang on to and see if that complements mm-hmm. what you and your bride want to do. But to have that discussion, discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then know that you're in control of your home. Build the home on the foundation of Jesus the Christ, and then manage your affairs from there.
So, Rick, you've used the word priority several times during our few minutes together so far. What would you say about this current generation? Would you say that our priorities have just been all mixed up? I mean, it just seems like that's a big issue right now.
I think it's always been an issue, Terrence, and I never like to generalize about a people group, be it millennials or others or race or anything else. I've found mm-hmm. moving all over the world that there are great people everywhere and there's some messed up people everywhere. So
certainly.
I would not generalize in any form or fashion, but when I say priorities, I do say, though, that the media has made a lot of aggressive marketing would be appropriate, I guess. These are the things you got to have, or these flashy vehicles, or these flashy clothes, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of marketing out there that can be very almost intimidating, if you will, to say that you've got to live a different lifestyle than you are living. And I think that's something for everyone to just evaluate themselves and know that you're living within your means. And the priority isn't stuff. The priority is relationship. And again, the priority is relationship with Jesus the Christ that we nurture every week in church, and we nurture during the week with time in scripture and prayer and devotion time with family. Then you focus and then make that intentional decision to learn to love as Christ loves in your marriage and in the family. And then reflect that in everything that you do. So I think, you know, that's where I would say the priorities are is, you know, it's the old Romans 12:2, right? That you don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when I talk to dads about renewing their mind, I suggest reading scripture all the way through. I was challenged 25 years ago, Terrence, to read the Bible. I said, wait a minute, Pastor, I only read man-sized books, maybe about a quarter inch thick. He says, well, take man-sized bites and start with Romans and read through Jude, then go back to Matthew, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and then go back to Genesis and read all the way through Revelation. And just read, my encouragement to dads is start with Romans, just read a chapter or two a day. It's not a speed read. It's just trying to focus in on scripture. So my personal discipline for that, Terrence, was to, you know, I was an early riser anyway. I just got up an hour earlier and I focused in, read, I prayed, I journaled a little bit, kept some notes. If there was a scripture that jumped out at me, I wrote that scripture down and just kind of had it on my mind. When you start internalizing the word, the Lord starts working on you. So that's my encouragement to dads on these priorities. We have to get back to, you know, when I say I talk to the marketing and aggressive marketing, a lot of that marketing is suggesting, you know, priorities in looks, priorities in wrong relationships, even priorities that move you into more relative truth, and the absolute truth gets compromised. And so we have to take ownership in that as dads and live under the Word of God is what I always say, under the Word of God. And these lies that the world throws out there will absolutely, you know, get light blasted on them.
Wonderful. I love how you say sit under the Word. I tell you that the Word of God has to be front and center in every man's life in order for there to be change. I really appreciate that. Strong advice, Rick. So how can a father with grown children who maybe he's sitting here listening right now going, too late for me, buddy. How can a father with grown children repair fractured relationships?
Well, it's never too late. First of all, that's important for everybody to know. I didn't talk to my dad for 15 years. And when we reconciled, of course, we weren't going to be best buddies, but we did reconcile and he got to meet his grandkids. So that it's never hopeless. That's not the way Romans 5:2 tells us, you know, right? We persevere because we rejoice in our sufferings because sufferings produce perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope never disappoints because that's the love of God poured into us through the Holy Spirit. So we're never hopeless. My encouragement to dads in that situation is, again, prayer. Pray for your child by name every day, and just know that the door will be opened at some point. We pray that it is in this life. You know, there's no guarantees of results. We don't know what is going on in the child's life, but I do know that the Lord answers prayer of a man after God's heart. So my encouragement is to pray for that child by name. You know, the other word that I was here, I think it was Oswald Chambers said, you know, we can't do what God does, but he will not do what we can do. So if there is anything you can do to reach out, whether it's a letter, a call, a visit, those types of things would possibly help open the door. You just have to pray through and see what is appropriate for that, for your specific situation. But do what you can do, but then let God do what he will do as well.
Well said, Rick. Thank you so much for that. Now, I'd like to hear more about faithful fathering, and more so, I guess, from the standpoint that when I looked at faithful fathering, one of the things that's mentioned is that the vision is to reinvigorate the church on the fathering front and engage dads in raising a godly generation. So I'd like to know, how does faithful fathering do that? What's the process of working towards your vision?
The process is to build relationships. My call was to the church, actually, Terrence, and the ministry is all about building relationship with 8 to 10 dads within a body of Christ across all lines, all Christian denominational lines. I will invest in those relationships, and I will arm the church. I will arm that, what I call a core group of dads. These are dads that I call purpose-filled dads. They're filled with God's purpose, their calling to be the best dad they can be, but they're also convicted to raise the bar for fathering corporately in their church and even beyond. But it's in that sequence. It's one man, one family, one church, one community at a time. But the faithful fathering invests in that core group of dads and arms them with a one-page strategy, what we call pass the baton. And that can be a whole nother podcast, but it's just briefly, P is again, for I'm a recovering engineer, remember, so I talk in acronyms. So the PASS is, P is for purpose-filled men that we invest in. A is for activities. At our church, we just had an overnight, a fun evening and an overnight and breakfast in the morning with dads and kids. Just a fun day, fun evening. And we've done overnights under the cross at Sagemont Church down there in your area. That's a big 100, I think it's 104-foot cross. We have had as many as 60 tents under that for a camp out for dads and kids. So activities that are fun, easy to engage in, and you always throw a little bit of devotion time in there for the dads and kids to enjoy some tent talk around the Word of God. The first S is for studies for dads. We have lots of studies on our website available at faithfulfathering.org. And you hit the For Dads button. There are tips for dads, little short vlogs, but then there's also several five-week studies that will help dads. I encourage dads to be a study of fathering so that we can raise the bar. And then the second S is for staying connected. That's where we do father-daughter. Churches will do a father-daughter retreat weekend 1 year, and the next year do a father-son retreat weekend. And we'll go to a camp. Frontier Camp has been one of our favorites. But we just work to have a weekend away, one-on-one time with a dad and usually the eldest child. And we invest in that relationship across a weekend retreat. So what we do is instigate that strategy. When they get that strategy going, they're having two or three fun activities a year, one study a year, and one retreat a year. And as they do that, there's a buzz in the church around fathering. And that's the focus of faithful fathering, is to raise that bar for fathering one church and then beyond in the community. So the baton is another acronym, but I won't go into all of that. But that's essentially a metric that allows a church to understand how they're doing.
Man, that is so good, Rick. And I got to tell you that as we wrap up our podcast together, my wife and I are in the process of going through the foster to adopt process. Okay. And Yeah, we've been married now almost 21 years, and so we don't have any children, but yet. But one of the things that I see that God is doing in me is preparing me for fatherhood. And you know, at times I've kind of wondered, Lord, what are you trying to do? Why is this such an important step where you are really taking the time to build me up and to prepare me for fathering? Well, during our time together, Rick, I want you to know that God has used our time together to help me see that one of those things is that, okay, one of the objectives is to raise the bar for fathering and to really understand that we are shaping the next generation through fathering. So, man, I tell you, that really ministers to me, and I really appreciate.
How do you think you've gotten out of fathering? I mean, you're a spiritual father to many. So, you know, when I talk about fathering, I'm talking about biological fathering, adoptive fathering, as well as spiritual fathering. So don't think that you're not fathering.
Amen.
So when it comes to the pillars of faithful fathering, to prioritize your physical presence, be engaged emotionally, and lead spiritually by example, I guarantee you that you're doing those three things with many young men in your circles.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Rick. That's encouraging, and that is confirmation, something that God has ministered to me on several occasions, but I tend to overlook and maybe even downplay the value of the fathering role that I play in the lives of some. So I appreciate that. And, you know, something that I know they all work together, but something that really has made an impact on me is the idea of prioritizing my presence. And that is just such a strong word, Rick. And I'm going to tell you, I have to have you back on the podcast because there are so many things here, so many notes that I have that I just didn't get the chance to unpack in our time together.
Well, it's a blessing to be with you, Terrence. And I know that, you know, not only in those dimensions for young people, young men that you engage with, but the example that you and your bride are in the way you live your relationship and marriage also is a fathering message to the young people in your church.
I love that, Rick. I love it. So, Rick, you mentioned how we contact Faithful Fathering. We did have the website, which was faithfulfathering.org. Is that right?
That's correct.
Are there any other ways that people can connect with you?
Sure, they can. Our office is 281-491-DADS. That's 281-491-3237. So welcome to call or text, email. Our email is rick@faithfulfathering.org. I know you've contacted admin is another way to connect with us. It's admin@faithfulfathering.org. And so that's via email, via phone, or the website faithfulfathering.org has contact information there as well. Mm-hmm. I do encourage guys, if you're interested, check out Dad Talk on our website. Again, faithfulfathering.org. You go to a Dad Talk button. You can see, get some tips for as we lead into Father's Day. There's the last several blogs have focused on preparing us to honor our father well.
Well said, Rick. Thank you so much. Do you have any last words that you'd like to share with us before we wrap up today?
Well, I just encourage all the dads out there, whether you're in the what we call the early teacher season, young kids, parenting teenagers, or if you're in the counseling season as I am, the older kids, just stay engaged, look for opportunities to pour into other dads. But the priority is to love your bride as Christ loves the church. Then reflect that love in family, prioritize your physical presence, engage emotionally, and lead spiritually by example. So just draw closer to Christ, walk in stride with Him as best you can, and know that our Heavenly Father is a father to the fatherless, and that he can guide us through anything that we face. He is sovereign. He doesn't talk to us through our ears, but through our circumstances. So know that he has you exactly where he has you for a reason right now, and he's drawing you closer to him to be the father you're called to be and the father that the next generation needs to see.
Strong work, Mr. Rick, man. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. God bless and Godspeed.
Man, I hope that you enjoyed today's podcast as much as I did. A special thanks to the friends and partners of Growing Faith. You helped to make this possible. We have a prayer that we say at the end of every podcast, and it is this. May our lives be so filled that it spills over into the lives of others. You have been listening to Your Life Beyond You.